In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. No matter what state of life you're in, no matter how much money you have, no matter even how holy you are, no matter how much you come to church, no matter what you do in life, there's no human being that can get past suffering, that can get past the darkness that we sometimes face in this world. That's why Jesus, when he came down to earth, he faced that directly himself, to show us that he was with us in all things, including our suffering. And the apostles of Christ also faced a lot of darkness, a lot of suffering in their lives. And we see in this gospel passage the story of one apostle of Jesus who should be very familiar to us Chaldeans, because he was the one that actually went to our land, went to Mesopotamia after Jesus went up to heaven, and he preached the gospel to our people. And so the story of our ancestors becoming Christian starts here in this gospel that we read. And so I think it's very worth it for us to really focus on this gospel and to see what can we learn from this man who preached to our people, and how can we be more like him? How can we be more like him who is called Doubting Thomas? That's the nickname that he has. And I'm saying that we should be like Doubting Thomas. We should be like him. Because actually, he shows us ultimate faithfulness. That's what he shows to Jesus Christ. That's how the story ended for him, like the story in our lives also. We do go through doubt, we go through darkness, and we go through sin, but we hope that our story can be like the story of Thomas. That even though he went through so much darkness, even though he saw, or he heard about, he was even too scared to be at the place where Jesus died, this man that he had given his life to. And so imagine the darkness and the guilt that Thomas felt when he was not at the crucifixion of Jesus, when maybe he was too scared, like all of the other apostles except for John the apostle. They were too scared to be at the cross. And so Thomas wasn't there at the last moments of this man who he had given his life to. He had ran away. And on top of that, Thomas was not there when Jesus first appeared to the apostles after his resurrection. On the day of the resurrection, Jesus appeared to the apostles, but for some reason, we don't know why, Thomas wasn't there at the moment. And so he did not see the risen Jesus. The other apostles had the pleasure and honor of seeing Jesus. But when Thomas went to them, they said, "We saw Jesus," and he didn't believe them. It was almost like too good to be true for him that Jesus actually rose from the dead. And so he did not believe. And on top of that, he said, "Unless I see him and unless I touch his wounds, I will not believe." Imagine the state of darkness and of misery that the soul of Thomas was in at the time. And on top of that, he waited 8 days after that. But he did not leave. He did not leave the apostles. He stayed with them. And on the 8th day, it says, just like we read in the story, that Jesus came and met him. Jesus came down to his level. Jesus knew that he was hurt. He knew that he was broken. He went down to his level, and he showed him that he was also hurt and that he was also broken when he showed him his wounds. And by the wounds of Jesus, he healed the soul of Thomas. And by Jesus' wounds, we are healed, like the scriptures tell us. Thomas was healed from his darkness, from his sin, from his guilt, when he went and touched the side of Jesus. Jesus allowed him to have such a deep intimacy with him when he showed him that his heart was broken. His heart was hurt. But then Jesus showed him and revealed revealed to him that it wasn't only his heart that was hurt and that was broken. It was the heart of Christ too that was hurt, that was torn apart on the cross. And he showed him that it was because of Thomas that he did that. And he shows us also that it is because of us that he did what he did, that he died on the cross, that he opened his heart for the overflowing gift of mercy that is poured onto the whole world. A chapter before this in the Gospel of John, we see that the side of Jesus was pierced after he had died, and that blood and water flowed. And so Thomas had the opportunity to touch and to go deep with the Lord into his side, of which blood and water had flown out, which gives us life. The blood and water which flowed from the heart of Christ is what gives us life. It is what washes us of our sins. It's what heals us from the wounds that we have. It's what enlightens us from the darkness that we are in. It's what gives us new life. That's why today is New Sunday, or like we say in a Chaldean, Hoshavachatha, because it's the new life that we receive from the resurrection of Christ, from the wounds of Jesus Christ, and he came down to earth and he lowered himself so much to suffer with us, to meet us where we're at, and to open his heart to us. No matter what we've done in our lives, no matter what we feel, no matter what state of darkness or misery we are in, Christ shows us that he is with us and that he offers us new life. And it is through his gift of mercy, of the divine mercy that God gives us, that we have new life. That's why today in the Latin Rite, and we also share with them the Feast of Divine Mercy. The Feast of Divine Mercy and New Sunday is the same idea, just a different name. That Christ gives us new life through his mercy. So we see, if you can see here, and I'm sure you've seen, the image of the divine mercy that Jesus revealed to St. Faustina in the late 1900s or mid-1900s. Jesus revealed himself in a very similar way to how he revealed himself to Thomas. He came down to his level and he met him and he opened his heart to him. That's what Jesus does with us in the image of the divine mercy. He opens his heart to him and we can see the rays of white and red that come, like the blood and water that flow for the whole world and that give us his mercy and that give us his new life. That's what Jesus offers us through his divine mercy. And that's what we should try our best to accept from him, because his gift is available. But we also know what is available and what is very prominent in this world and in a lot of our lives, and it's the sins that we struggle with. But sin in the spiritual battle is the weapon of the devil. Sin, darkness, misery, those are the weapons that the devil will use to make us despair, to make us lose hope. But God's weapon is his mercy. Our Chaldean liturgy actually calls God's mercy two things: a weapon and a shield. It's our weapon against the powers of the devil, and it's our shield against all evil. If we just accept his gift, if we just accept the gift that Jesus gave of his Holy Spirit when he breathed on the apostles, and he said, "Whose sins you forgive, they are forgiven them." That's how we receive God's mercy, when we ask him, when we beg him to forgive our sins, which he will always do if we ask him and if we make a resolve to not sin anymore. That's why we should, as best as we can and as much as we can, take advantage of the gifts that God offers us, especially through the sacraments of the church, like confession, when we purify our souls, when the blood of Christ washes away our sins, and then when we receive his wounded, his crucified, and his resurrected real body in the Holy Eucharist. That's why in the Mass we hear the words that Jesus said, the first words that he said after he rose from the dead. We hear, peace be with you, shlama amchon. These are the words that Jesus gives us because he knows that in this world there's a lot of sin and there's a lot of darkness. But with him, there's peace. And like he said, it's not peace that the world gives, but it's peace that he gives. How can we have, how can we imagine, we human beings, to have peace through a piece of bread? We, when we think in our human minds, we can't imagine that. But it's not peace as the world gives, it's peace as Jesus gives. And it's through this, what looks like piece of bread, it's through this sacrament that we receive this new life that Jesus offers us. We receive the life that he gives us and that he brings into our hearts, so that by his grace we can be forgiven of our sins, we can overcome all of the darkness and the sin of this whole world, and always live in unity with his divine mercy.